Yo, this is the New Age Party for B-Boy.
This is Chris Marshall.
I am Danny Danger.
Hey, guys, it's B.W. Anderson.
I am the purchase for a new Cosmos.
Hey, wrestling fans, this is Tracy Smothers.
This is Nikki Wrestling, and you're listening to the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show.
This is the Combat Zone Wrestling Owner, hilarious DJ Hodge.
This is Rob Van Dam.
Wrestling fans, this is Indie Superstar Cage.
This is Dave Meltzer.
Yo, what's up? This is Eddie Kingston, last of the Dying Breed. And you're listening to the Golden Cravat Wrestling Radio Show.
Everybody, it's the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show here live on Thursday. What is today's date? I don't even know. I was just taking care of some business, had some issues to attend to. I am ready. March 6, 2014, live out in beautiful Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Now, sorry I hit the intro a little bit later than usually. I was actually taking care of some stuff that is actually, you know, show business, which will be who's going to be calling in at 9:30. We have two guests tonight. Well, one of them's a guest, but he was supposed to be my co-host for tonight, but things happen, and I understand it. It's just, you know, New York City. He's in New York City, so had some issues, and it's all good. I'll be calling in at 9:30. I can't really say who the first guest is, but the second guest, like I said, for people coming in the chat room late, yes, I did. It seems like every week I'm on the show by myself. I screw something up. I played the intro very late, okay, because I was taking care of some stuff via Twitter. Check me out on Twitter, Eric Williams. I don't know why I just promote on Twitter. Anyways, looks like the chat room is filling up, so everybody get over to the chat room and enjoy. But I was saying before, I interrupted myself, is that we have two guests. One of them I can't say, because it's a surprise. And the second one is a longtime independent wrestler from New Jersey, PA, New York, Monster Mac. So that should be interesting. I don't know, like my computer just turned off, but whatever. I just decided to turn back on. But we're going to talk a lot about he was involved in early Ring of Honor, got to work with Homicide, Jersey All-Pro, and he has a lot, you know, veteran in his business, and he's got a lot to say about certain things that we'll go over. And, you know, we'll talk about the network with him, and it's going to be interesting because actually both guests that I have on the show tonight have had some old school stories to tell. Not really old school, but pretty much like more like, you know, they're going to talk about recent, like not recent stuff. Why am I talking about, like it's my first day, but they're going to talk about like the early 90s, mid 90s, late 90s. We're going to talk about everything in independent wrestling because they were pretty much like either helped pave the way for some of these young guys or, yeah, they just did everything. Real quick, I want to go over something, get it out of the way real quick. Anyway, watched NXT last week, saw that they had one of those really good matches to watch, Sami Zayn versus Antonio Cesaro. If you have WWE Network, I would suggest going back there and watching it on the on demand part of the WWE Network. available at WWE.com/network. And for those of you who don't know, Lola Diaz had to take care of some business today. She actually said last week on the show that she was going to be available this week. She will be available next week. So we will go with our business next week. Tonight we're going to also talk. I have a lot of videos that I actually clipped and did some audio. Going to play a song later. It's an independent wrestling parody song of the song Call Me Maybe, Book Me Maybe. So we're going to play that. It's going to be hilarious. We're also going to talk about Monday Night Raw, as Monday Night Raw happened. And everybody in the chat room, you know, who we got in the chat room, so I got to go over the chat room. Got DDP 131. Got guest 7116. We got Let Me Borrow That Top, and Oh You Didn't Know. So we got the usuals in the chat room. Should be interesting. I'm actually going to be doing something in a couple weeks. Pretty big. Can't really announce it on the air yet, because I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But I may have, I might be bringing back something we did previously, and that is Free For Me Friday. Except, you know, why are you, you know, you're sitting there confused, why are you doing Free For Me Friday? Well, it's not going to be Free For Me Friday. It's going to be Giveaway Thursday. And the only catch is you're going to have to call in, answer a trivia question. Now, I was thinking about doing something pretty big for one lucky listener. I was thinking about it, and I don't know if it's going to be possible, but I have a way, okay, that I could possibly give away a actually, it would be courtesy of the Golden Cravat Wrestling Radio Show. You're live on blogtalkradio.com/NDBmedia2, because two is better than one. You like that I'm, you know, kind of, you know, not giving it to you? Guess what? I'm not going to tell you what it is. You're going to have to be the 100th caller. No, I'm kidding. Sounds like a radio gig. I'm actually not going to tell you guys, because there's suspense. Yeah. There's suspense. It's pretty big, okay? Yeah, I'm being a natural here right now. I'm not telling people, but there's a possibility that one of the big Free For Me Giveaway Thursday is a free, courtesy of the Golden Cravat, 6-month subscription to the WWE Network. Now, the catch is going to be something big. So we're going to have to do something pretty big with that. Like I said, finalized details are not finalized yet. So I am not 100% sure. But it would only be a 6-month subscription. After the 6 months, they would be canceled. So unless you want to pay for it and, you know, the whole gimme. But the first 6 months would be free. And it won't be trivia from WWE. It won't even be that trivia game. It's going to be something a little different. I've done it before. So get to Monday Night Raw. We had a good Monday Night Raw. And I have a clip to play. Hopefully my I'm going to play a clip here. This is Monday Night Raw. I'm going to tell you one thing, though. A certain girl in the chat room pissed me off early Monday, and she told me that CM Punk came out. So I'm going to play what actually happened, a clip of it, not really the whole thing, but anyway, CM Punk's music hit to start the show, and, well, this is a little bit of what Paul Heyman had to say, because Paul Heyman came out.
Thank you. they thought was too small to main event WrestleMania. A Paul Heyman guy that didn't have the right corporate look. A Paul Heyman guy that had too many tattoos. A Paul Heyman guy that would rebel against the system, against the authority, against the First Family to such a degree that they didn't want him in WWE from day one, and they don't want him in WWE right now. Tonight to tell you the story of a Paul Heyman guy that had the balls to say what nobody else had the balls to say. I came here tonight to tell you about a Paul Heyman guy that was born in, raised in, and still lives in Chicago. My name is Paul Heyman, and ladies and gentlemen, this is my pipe bomb about CM Punk. Who is not here this evening. And here's the biggest part of my pipe bomb. Looking for me to disagree with you, I'm sorry, I don't. No one is more upset that he can't see CM Punk perform in this ring tonight than I am. No one. Because if CM Punk were here tonight, he would be doing exactly what he always claimed to do. He would be proving his detractors wrong, and he would be showing the entire WWE Universe that he is the best in the world.
Well, that was Paul Heyman talking about CM Punk. For those that you just tuned in, the details are not finalized for this giveaway. I don't know when it's starting. I will let everybody know when I do. Probably a few weeks. I will let everybody know. And so, like I said, it's being worked on. It's not finalized. But yeah, I'm just gonna go quickly over Monday Night Raw and talk a little bit about it. I watched most of it. It was just, like I said, I can't really go over some of the stuff, but it's going to be a different show than what I planned, but it is what it is. Monday Night Raw started off with that whole, promo, and then Brock Lesnar came out, and from there, Mark Lesnar came out, said accepted the challenge of Undertaker for Mania. Mark Henry came out, and Lesnar and Henry brawled, and Lesnar F5'd Henry through the announce table, and that was that. Beat the crap out of Henry again. First up, the Usos defeated the New Age Outlaws to win the WWE Tag Team titles. Great moment for them is that they finally get a tag gold that they've been hunting for the belts for a couple of weeks now. So good for the Usos. They deserve it. They've been busting their butts since probably July with great matches and all over. Big E defeated Cesaro. Kind of bummed that Cesaro, I mean, he picked up Big E right off the bat and then hit him almost the Cesaro swing like within a minute. And then all of a sudden, Jack Swagger ran in and did the Swagger bomb, on Big E for the Big U. Cesaro wasn't happy, blah, blah, blah. So they... Next up was... Seth Rollins, the big thing here, Seth Rollins just left his partner Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose. Santino and Emma defeated Fandango and Summer Rae in a tag match, a mixed tag. Christian lost Sheamus. Didn't care much for that match. The Bellas wrestled with Alicia Fox and Oksana. The Bellas beat took the victory there. They did a whole thing with Triple H, Daniel Bryan, and Dolph Ziggler defeated Alberto Del Rio 2 minutes. Then Big E wrestled Jack Swagger. He beat him by DQ in 5 seconds. Batista lost to Daniel Bryan via DQ. After the match, Orton set up an RKO and Batista. Batista shoved him off, and Bryan hit him with the right knee. Bryan drop-kicked Batista and dropped Kane off the ring apron and into Triple H. Bryan set up a suicide dive, but Batista cut him off with the spear. Hunter reached down and grabbed Bryan by the hair and said he's getting tired of this little fancy crap. Bryan kicked Triple H in the head. Batista picked up Bryan and powerbombed him. Triple H took his jacket off and tie off. Triple H hit the pedigree on Bryan. Stephanie did a mock yes chant on the CM Punk. Triple H's music sounds it. No CM Punk. Hijack Raw. Did not happen. Well, it did. But yeah. So, that was that. That was Monday Night Raw. Let me play a thing for the WWE Network. I don't know, I keep going over to the thing. I'm going to play something for Nicole in the chat. She will laugh at this, but it's one of her favorite wrestlers. Going into CZW real quick before my first guest calls in. But it is a former CZW wrestler, John Moxley, currently WWE. John Moxley sings the CZW theme song, and that's going to go into like our next topic, which is BCW's show this weekend.
CZW, laying the law once again, prepare for war. CZW, I'm for not dead, dead, not a hit. All spotless, dead, dead, not. Andy Reader, Rich Swan, dead, dead. Ray Block, grilling out, drinking Jack. I'm sad, going down, breaking the tan. Golden boy. Pay-per-view, all for you. It's all new. CZ, I'm for a night, we're going to die. It's a cage of life. Richie Swan, he's the man.
Get
out of 10! It's strike 10! That was, John. It's funny because, according to some news articles, that second guy in that voice, or that song, by the way, Rich Swann was playing the guitar. You can find that on YouTube. John Moxley sings the CZW theme song. Rich Swann, a talented playing the guitar and also in the background singing the second verse, the second part. the pay-per-view. First was a man who apparently has been signed by WWE, Drake Younger. So that if that happens, that's pretty big. That's not official yet. We will see what happens. I was going to have on the show earlier, I was supposed to have three guests on tonight. One of them I decided to just change last minute. And that's the way it went. But CZW has a show this weekend, March 8th, this Saturday, Voorhees, New Jersey, the Skate Zone. High stakes. The campaign's Drew Gulak, the champion, defending against the number one contender, A.R. Fox. The CW tag titles will be on the line as the Beaver Boys of John Silver and Alex Reynolds take on the front. In a battle for cherry bomb match, Greg Excellent wrestles Pepper Parks. Eight-man tag match, Juicy Product, team of David Starr and JT Dunn and Alex Colon, and a member of the front take on Ohio's for Killers, Jake and Dave Crist, Azriel and Chris Dickinson. Eight-man tag. Masada will take on the campaign's Mr. Tofika. That should be really good. Tofika is a big guy. Masada is just a bruiser, so he'll take care of this. Dreamer should be really good. That's what I'm looking forward to. It's going to be quite a great match. Black Cheese takes on the CZW owner, DJ Hyde. The campaign's Alexander James takes on Kevin Conley. Danny Havoc will address the combat zone. And the debut of Timothy Thatcher and more. So that is CZW. Check them out. Combat CZW Wrestling.
More information.
Wait on my first guest to call in. So I have him on the air. I'm going to have an interesting part. Interesting thing. If you didn't hear,
earlier, we're going to have on the line
later on at 10 o'clock, Steve Mastinac, so should be interesting for an interview. He'll be calling in around 10 o'clock, so looking forward to that. Really confused why my switchboard's not working. May have to stop using the tablet and go to my computer, so. Going on with the chat room. Oh, we're talking about crack now. Well, it's kind of a family show, so I don't know what's talking about crack in the chat room, but I think people might be offended by that. But yeah, it's just interesting stuff. So, that's all you. Energy bars. Talking about energy bars. You know, and like I said, the people are just talking about crack now. So I don't understand it. This show has became new low for radio. I'm kidding. Of course, I'm joking around. Let me play a video, audio clip. Let me play a song real quick, and then we'll come back and hopefully we're on. Let me play a video. It's a video I was telling you about. It's Call Me Maybe, but it's Book Me Maybe. Here we go, and it's off of YouTube, so. Check this out. We'll be right back.
Another long Saturday, of driving out of my way to official for no pay in front of 5K fans. This kid kicked up 7 times after a suicide dive. DDT and Northern Lights, he must be Superman. They all think Christina, but they never seen her. What's the calling spotlight? It's all songs and cover power. Hey, Zippo Dixie, oh, the Ravana. I'm back with Zippo. So trust me, maybe he's the and YWT, you got my number. So call me, book me, NWA. We saw Anna with Kevin Sorey. And call me, book me, you're the dream girl. I saw them getting a tan and it's a leader. Book me, maybe. This one kid doesn't own gear. His only move is a spear. But he's why the crowd is here. So put him over clean. So sick and tired of kids with no respect for the biz. Don't know what an armbar is. Can't even say they're great. Tell me who you are, cause you're no superstar. And don't have favorite matches over the special era. Hey, Zippo Dixie, oh, Ring of Honor. I'm done with Zippo. So put me, maybe he's DJ. And by the way, y'all got my number. So call me, put me NWA. Mr. Honor with Kevin Sorey. And call me, put me, you're the champion. I'm swearing just him. And look to me, babe. Put me, maybe. The golden is your fucking body. For a whole night. And if you did love, and if you had a look to all the records, now we'll bring you to dinner. Sit on Facebook. That's what I'm good. NWA, Risa Anna, with Kevin Sorey, and call me, book me, hey, Risa Dixie, or Ring of Honor, I'm not your shit show, so book me, lady, you're the danger, a Corbin Johnson, or Lucha Libre, book me, lady, the golden is your custom star, for the whole night, and what you should know.
And we're back here live on here. blogtalkradio.com/NDBmedia2. If you missed the first half of the show, or first half hour, we talked about Monday Night Raw. I gave away a secret that y'all can listen to and download. Later on we're going to have on Steve Mastemac around 10 o'clock. I'm waiting to hear from my guest who's supposed to be calling in any minute. And I'm going to play his theme song or his song or whatever. It should be interesting. Let me play a commercial on that play for me. Let me play this real quick.
Hey, you there. Yes, you. I'm talking to you. Would you like to hear the best interviews, the most fun, and the best in wrestling? Then join Eric Williams and the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show every Thursday night right here on NDB Media 2. Why? Because as Eric Williams always says, 2 is better than 1. Check him out every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That, of course, is 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for those of you that live here on the West Coast like me. So check him out every Thursday night. You will not regret it. Join the Golden Cravat Wrestling Show Thursday nights on NDB Media 2.
y'all should check out his show tomorrow, Friday. Tomorrow, which is Friday. ndblogtalkradio.com, here on the same network, blogtalkradio.com/ndbmedia2. And, why? Well, two is better than one. The two girls are fighting in the chat room, so we'll enjoy that. So we'll figure it out. Going through some big stages right now with the show. Got a show next week, and it should be interesting. I'm going to do something different next week. So I'm going to still have Lola on the show, and
should have went to a longer commercial break. Really should have, because
I don't understand. People have been refreshing like crazy. But thank you all, everybody who's been in the chat room tonight. We've got DDP, guest 7965, guest 8045. Let me borrow that tap. And, oh, you didn't know. I think I'm going to play a clip within the next couple weeks. But when those two get in the chat room, I'm going to have a clip of the audio saying, oh, you didn't know. I'm going to find somewhere where somebody said, let me borrow that top. Wait, I was going to do that. That'd be hilarious. But, it should be interesting. what's called YouTube? Oh, yeah. No, that's what I'm going to go for, but I didn't get a chance to. I think we're like a couple of seconds behind or something. I'm not sure. So everybody check out... Matt's show tomorrow, Friday, at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. Same network as me, so. Everybody go check him out tomorrow. I'm going to be on that show tomorrow, so I will see what happens. I might pop on. So, yeah. So I'm going to do something right now that I said I wasn't going to do. I'm going to bring out the trivia. We're going to play some trivia, I think. If I can find it. Maybe we won't play trivia. I don't know what else. The game box one. So. Yeah, we are watching the thing. You know what? I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to give away WrestleMania 1991 right now. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to give away something live on this show. Free for me Friday. Free for me Friday. Giveaway Thursday. I'm actually going to do that. WrestleMania 1991. Once I find a trivia question. Actually, you know what? I'm going to, of course. So, for the first person that can call in with an answer, we'll get the prize, which is WrestleMania 1991. So, if you want this DVD holding it, you can call in at 347-637-2306. I'm not going to ask the trivia question now. I'm going to ask it on the air when you call in. So if you would like to call in and answer this question, you can. But anyway, on to more stuff about, let's talk about Extreme Rising for a second. Now, over the weekend, the Extreme Rising show got canceled this past weekend. And Stevie Richards and Luke Hawks, who traveled far, one of them travels, I think, from California and the other one from Louisiana. They got flown in, of course. But over the weekend, Stevie Richards was supposed to wrestle Sabu for the Extreme Rising title, I believe. Or one of the, either he was supposed to wrestle one of the, either Sabu or Luke, I think. So Extreme Rising had to cancel. The arena is not ready for anybody yet. And they had a match at ECWA instead because the show got canceled. And they claimed that it was for the Extreme Rising belt. They told the referee, everybody knew, and everybody thought it was okay. Now they wrestle, Luke Hawks wins the Extreme Rising title, and he wins it, and it's a big honor, it's a big idea. And then after the show, probably Monday, they announced that that it wasn't the case, the belt wasn't on the line. They said that they wanted the belt sent back to Stevie Richards. Now, believe me if I'm wrong, or tell me if I'm wrong here, but when do people get crazy about belts? I don't understand it. Give me 1 second. Hold on. I don't gotta say anything. I don't understand it with these belts. Extreme Rising is, I don't understand what they're doing. You can't. That's just stupid. It sounds like child games. It's like a kid in high, in elementary school. Miss Jones, can you tell Brandon give me the ball back? He has the ball. I want the. It's pathetic. I don't understand it. I don't read too much into it, but it's ridiculous. But I told everybody that I had a guest two guests on, one being a surprise, and the other one being Steve Monsamac. So, with that being said, I am going to play something, and you'll be able to tell who it is.
Introducing first, the zombie!
A zombie?
What is a rib? What is this?
I can assure everyone watching the world premiere of ECW on Sci-Fi, the zombie is, well, not an offering of ECW or Sci-Fi.
The zombie?
Hey, look, I spent a lot of time in ECW. What the hell is this? I've never saw no zombie. He's an ugly-looking SOB, and I think he's the new breed of
leash. Yes, in fact, I am surprising you, because with that being said, I have on a zombie.
A.K.A. Tim Austin. Thank you. Thank you for that ballyhooed introduction.
you even got a ring instruction.
14
on.
Years, and the most famous memory of me in the business. just Fantastic.
I was actually looking for something that, like, said, like, Tim Larson, like an introduction, and
I'm
I
just
found glad, something.
I'm just happy that, like, you didn't play, like, Michael Jackson's Thriller, like some promoters have, or just
I could if
something.
You really wanted me to. I mean that's totally up to you.
No, please, you're fine, you're fine. What's going on, gentlemen?
It's going good. I said when we started the show, I said that I was going to have on two people that had a lot of history in wrestling, and I didn't say who it was because I wanted to surprise people. But you, my friend, have had a lot, working in Puerto Rico, doing all types of stuff, and it's crazy because you look at history. And you see your name pop up, Puerto Rico. And it wasn't much in the United States. It was mostly Puerto Rico.
No, it really wasn't. I mean, I really was trained. I'm one of the last guys who was trained from the old school of less is more, and Johnny Rodge trained me. So anybody who's ever been trained by Johnny, you know that he's got quite an honor roll and alumni. Guys just always took longer. I mean, basically, that's like, it's a lifetime membership. When you drop your $3,000 or $2,000 or whatever it is, most places, you're in there for 6 months and then you're out there doing shows, which nowadays that's kind of like how things go, and that's fine. I mean, guys today, the business in itself is just a whole lot faster pace. So I was one of the last guys that, like, I stuck around and I trained for like 2 years, 3 years, and then I started refereeing on school shows, and then I did some Frank Goodman shows, USA Pro in New York, who Monster Mac knows that. I'm not sure if he's on the line or not, but
No, he's not.
Anyway, so long story short, I just had an opportunity. I went to a card Latino wrestler convention with Johnny Rods, and I met Carlos Colon and Pedro Morales, said that it looked like RVD a little bit, and he asked me if I wrestle, and I did, and I had my DVD, and I gave it to Carlos, and then that summer I was in Puerto Rico for the next 3 years.
Right.
How I built my Tim Larson name, and then halfway through that, the next year, 2006, I was in touch with Tommy Dreamer, and he had another Gleason alumni from Johnny Rod's school. And he had asked me what I was doing. I told him I was down in Puerto Rico, and he said, okay, can you be up here for such and such a date for Raw, for a tryout? And I came up, I worked out. And then they invited me back for SmackDown, and then SmackDown, that was the first night of the ECW deal, and that's how that happened.
Right. I mean, it's an awesome story because, you got trained, and I was like, saying this, I said this before, but Johnny Rods wasn't really a huge name in the business. I mean, he could have, but he was the type of guy, from what I've, read and, saw, he was the type of guy that he would go in to work with young guys and really show them, the office, what the guy was all about, where he would stretch him out or, heard.
Yes.
So,
one of his
and he's in the Hall of Fame, so...
Yeah, one of his most famous ones was Kevin Von Erich. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's actually on YouTube. And I think Kevin Von Erich just came in there, and Fritz sent him up for a tryout, and they put him in there with Johnny, and it's just brutal. Johnny can you curse on here?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, he just beats the living shit out of poor Kevin Von Erich. He gave him nothing. I mean, it was as close to a UFC fight as you'll get. And then he basically just pulled him over. At the end of the match, he just pretty much pulled Kevin Von Erich on top of him for the pin. The 1-2-3. Now, Johnny definitely wasn't known for being graceful in the ring, but he definitely was Vince Sr.'s go-to guy when it came to trying out guys for the territory, like you said. And that's as,
right.
and that's as important as anybody in any company. I mean, in ECW, I think they used to have Spanish Angel and Nova, Supernova used to stretch guys. that wanted to come in and go for tryouts. Was that Billy Kidman that did that for WWE for a while? And Jamie Noble was doing that for a while. You know, so those are some of the guys that are the smaller guys and guys that you think that don't make that much of an impact, but you know what? They really do. So, and I'm sure, and I think in, I'm not sure who does it in Ring of Honor right now, but I know that Adam Pearce.
I don't think they really have anybody. I mean, Ring of Honor is so, you know, like just have so many different guys going in there, and like it's really hard. I think you see it, you saw it more back then, whereas now I don't know if if you can personally say that this is true, but it seems like a lot of guys are out there for themselves, and there's really not those real true veterans. There's not that many anymore.
I believe the way Ring of Honor does it now, I think they do tryout camps, and then they do the whole ring boy thing. Like, if the guy's any good, like when they come to that town, they'll let him be a ring boy, and then if there's an opportunity for a dark, they'll put him in a dark. And then I think that's how they go from there. At least my buddy, I don't know if ever heard of Jorge Santi, the Firebird. Jorge Santi.
I heard of him.
Yeah, but like he's worked a couple times in the New York spots, and that's kind of how like he got in.
Okay.
But it's tough, like you said. A lot of guys out for themselves, and that is, and as much as I enjoy the product, Ring of Honor. I enjoy watching CZW shows, and but for Ring of Honor in particular, like I'm a big fan of. Kevin Steen's. I don't know him personally, but I just like his style, and I'm too big a fan of all the flips and the too much lucha stuff and too much fast-paced stuff. I'm not too much of a fan of that, although, there are some guys like A.R. Fox that are just tremendous in the ring. But
I know we talked about a little bit off air, a few years ago, that you were really digging Chikara at the time.
Yes. I spoke to you on Facebook, I think, about it. I really dug Chikara at the time. I reached out to Quack, but at the time they really weren't looking for anybody new. So, I can get into just about anything. I mean, in wrestling, I have a new appreciation for it. For a long time, I was kind of stuck in that old school mentality of, "Oh, this is no good. Look at these high spots. They don't mean anything. They don't make any sense." But there really is a lot of stuff out there right now, and it actually does make sense. It makes sense to do, spots that would. Like 3 or 4 or 5, 6 years ago would be finishes and set them up as hope spots because maybe the next spot will be even bigger. And a lot of times they pop, the crowds are popping. So, more power to them, I say. But I like
it also helps that the business and the fans have changed, the market for everything. People want to see that kind of stuff now. Back in the day, people weren't doing that kind of stuff. People were doing your classic wrestling matches, and people, flocked to the buildings like crazy, sold out venues like crazy.
Right.
And I know people are like, well, why isn't that selling out venues now? Well, you got to remember, it's also a younger generation. Times have changed, and the media has changed a lot of things. People want to see violence, and people want to see cool things. And
people want exactly
putting somebody
people
in
want to see cool things. These kids used to, those matches they would have been called the curtain jerkers. They would have opened up a show or something like that.
Right.
But now
those are mid
to main. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
What do you see? Now you worked in Puerto Rico for a long time. Going into when you were a kid, and when you started learning about the business and stuff like that, you had to have known that Puerto Rico was a hotbed for wrestling at some point.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
In wrestling. Now, going off of that, and knowing what you knew, what's the business now like now?
Where? In Puerto Rico?
Yes, yes.
Unfortunately, right now, it is really, really lacking and sad. The problem down in Puerto Rico, well, first off, I don't know if you're familiar with the economy, but it's been compared to the debt that they have is being compared to that of worse than Detroit, which Detroit has fallen apart. So that's the first strike against them. And secondly, now they have just similar to here, they have everybody starts and they get trained and they learn a few spots, and then before you know it, they're working. There's a lot of independence down there right now. But the thing is, everybody works for free. Everybody works for free. I mean, some of the guys that I wrestled with that really can work well, they work in independence down there, and it's basically like it's really a diluted market right now. The only company that's really running, IWA went out of business. If you remember, Sabio Vega and Victor Quinones, who was the son-in-law, I believe, of Gorilla Monsoon, he used to own IWA. In 2006, when I got there, he passed away. From that point on, IWA went downhill. Sabio Vega was in charge, and for whatever reason, things just started slipping, and they went downhill. And in 2010, I believe, they officially went out of business. That left WWC, Carlos Colon's WWC, as the only game in town. So with no competition, you have all these old guys. You have, I believe this past weekend on one of their shows, they had Sabio Vega and Miguel Perez versus, you ready for this, Carlos Colon Sr. and Invader, the guy that killed Bruiser Brody.
Right.
Like, how many times can you keep on doing the same matches over and over again? And they'll throw Carlito in there. They'll throw Rey Gonzalez. Rey Gonzalez, for those of you who don't know, and he is phenomenal. He's great. But he is like one of seven or eight guys that they just keep on passing the ball to. And Invader, Jose Gonzalez, again, he's the guy that supposedly murdered Bruiser Brody, allegedly. He's the guy with the book down there. So he's booking thing, and his booking skills are shit because he books everything old school. And the fans down there are not stupid. Like, they have the internet. They see what we're doing here. They see what WWE is doing here. They see what Ring of Honor is doing, and, you know, what the scene is like here. And it's like they have that slow, old school pace going on down in Puerto Rico, and it's sad. It's really bad. It's terrible. They call it geriatric wrestling now.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I do have another person I want to add to this conversation. I think it's going great about wrestling, but I want to welcome to the show the one and only Monster Mac.
Hey,
what's going on, everybody?
What's going on, Monster Mac?
What up, bro? How you doing?
All right. Long time since the old Elks Lodge locker room.
Many, 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 many moons.
Now, is that for USA Pro? Is that the first time you guys met?
Yes.
USA Pro?
Yeah. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, USA Pro and Jack Sabbath.
It's all right. We probably go back before that, too.
Yeah.
I think we met, you came to the Doghouse a few times, LIWF,
yes.
And stuff like that.
And how forbidden it was back then to be from Gleason's and to cross lines and come over to the Doghouse.
Shame.
That's how crazy it was back then. And it was like, I remember, I think it was me and Matt Stryker that came over.
Yep.
And I credit
and
the Boogaloo. Yes, and
Boogaloo
and Chong, too.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Lowrider.
Lowrider, yeah, his little brother. And yeah, and of course, Damian Dragon, too.
Yes, Damian Dragon.
I believe he was doing the HBK gimmick.
I always thought of Damian as kind of independent. because he was all over the place, Damien.
Yeah. Well, he was all over the place, especially going into years later. But early on, I mean, he was at Gleason's for a long time as well. And
yeah.
And like I said, you know, I never have a bad word to say about Damien, but he would always, he did the Stone Cold gimmick for a while. And then, you know, Damien, he would always switch it up, which I guess is good to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but yeah, I credit the SATs for teaching me how to do my first moonsault.
I always laugh that people say that the SAT are the sloppiest guys when, in fact, they're probably the safest guys I've ever been in the ring with. But, see, my experience with the SAT is different than everybody else's. So, you know. But
yeah.
I always love being in. I was actually with Joel this week, and I'm going to go to his school on Wednesday in Brooklyn to go work out.
They're still doing it? Oh, okay. That's the Rudis school, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And have you been over to Red School, the House of Glory?
Yeah, I've
okay.
been to both. House of Glory, right now they're in between schools, I believe. They're refurbishing a building and they're about to open up another school. Oh, not another one, a new location. But it's like right around the block from the old one or something like that. But I mean, you can't go wrong with either school. Both have guys who have been all over the world and have been in the business for over 15 years each. So,
yeah.
You know.
Red, Brian,
it seems like,
Excel.
You know, it seems like, you know, New York is just kind of, you know, putting out good stuff again. You know, I mean, there was a point in couple of years ago where you didn't really hear about many schools out of New York. I think it was like Whipwreck School, and that was about it. Like I heard some rumblings about the Doghouse opening up, and this was a few years ago. This wasn't even like recently, but like now everybody's opening up a school, and it's like run by like, you know, reputable people. So it's good
yeah.
that guys can go out there, because there is definitely, you know, New York is a, you know, it's a hotbed. It's always been a hotbed for wrestling. You know, drew a lot of money, you know, whether it was the Garden or, you know, wherever, you know, it drew, you know, that's New York. They always say it's hard to work in front of New York crowds. So, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is, too, there's so much competition up here that it's hard to get noticed. You would have to really have something special to stand out. And the only way to perfect whatever it is that you have that special is to go to a good, reputable school. Or, you know, you leave the area and go to someplace like Kevin Matthews. Kevin Matthews is a tall guy, has a decent build to him, pretty good build, you know. But in the area with Homicide and Low Key and, you know, guys like that, you're not going to stand out as much just trying to be a big, tall, tough guy. So what he did was he did the smart thing. He moved down to North Carolina. He got noticed right away, and within a year of moving down there, he got a contract. You know what I mean? So... You know, that's because the area is just – the competition was so tough at one point. And I think what happened was there was a lot of –
Yeah, it really was. I remember that.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that were, you know, coming to train saying – I mean, I hear it all the time. And I see it on Facebook and all, you know, Twitter or whatever. I'm a Doghouse guy. Meanwhile, when I was there, I never saw you. So when were you at the Doghouse? You know what I mean? But you know, I don't call them out. You know, just let them talk, you know.
And Marston, I got to tell you, you know, you got to, if you think about it, you really got to almost credit like Red and the SAT almost with inventing this new style that really is all over the United States right now.
The Lucha hybrid high flyer.
Absolutely.
Style.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. See, the thing was when. Like the late 90s, mid to late 90s, independent wrestling was a bunch of guys who were either A, on TV and couldn't make it past, you know, enhancement, talent, or whatever, and they were kind of bitter, and they didn't really feel like working much for their money, you know, even
Ace
though they were
Darling, getting paid. Sunny Beach.
Well, Ace Darling, he always, well, whenever we worked, he always put on a good match.
I haven't had that
so
in a while.
I won't trash him, you know what I mean?
I'm not trashing anybody. I'm just saying guys that were like either enhancement talent or, you know, like you said, had just about gotten there, but didn't exactly make
it. Yeah,
you know?
And
reckless youth.
See, but even with Reckless was trying to do the Lucha style once we started, the Lucha Japanese style, once we came around, when the guys like Homicide, Loki, myself, Mop, even Lathan, he didn't, you know, he's starting to break out a little bit now with his own tag team deal. Lathan, you know,
really? He's still in it?
Yeah. He's doing the Sons of Kamala gimmick with Sonny Black over in JCW. And,
okay.
What you call it? So, you know, when we started, because we all love Japan, and we love Puerto Rico, and we love Mexico, and just watching wrestling all over the world, and we started doing it on shows, and at first there was a lot of resistance because the guys who were on top didn't want to work that hard, you know, and here we are, we're hungry, we just want to be in the ring, and we're going crazy and doing all this stuff, and we're getting noticed, and then they're like, So, you know, we picked up we made everybody work harder, and the guys who sucked.
Did you guys suck. Ever? You and
the
you and
Mop.
My God.
Yeah,
oh my God.
That was
Eric, I'm not sure if you've ever seen any of the old USA Pro shows, but these guys would go against who was that? Mike and Danny.
Oh, the Boogie Knight.
The Boogie Knight.
Mike Tobin. Mike Tobin and Danny Drake, Boogie Knight.
Yeah, I was like, I would say to them sometimes, and be like, yo, how do you take that shit?
Well, see, the thing
well,
was,
even, yo,
was,
I,
like, there's
even,
like a little backstory to that, too, you know.
Talking about the Hit Squad beating up people, you know, the first Ring of Honor show, Christopher Street Connection.
Yeah. And those are our boys. Those were our boys.
Yeah,
too.
And those are your boys, yeah, but that's how you were brought up, you know.
Yeah. You know, for the sake of the show, you know, and then later on we returned the favor, you know, and helped them get somewhere big, you know, and that's what we did. Whenever we would go into a new place, we would go to office over in Pennsylvania or, you know, up in New England, Chaotic Wrestling and Dogs of War and stuff like that. We would always go, it would be like me, Moff, and Key, and we would name drop Homicide and Christopher Street and whoever else didn't make the trip with us and make sure that the next trip, those guys were all booked with us, you know? And we all looked out for each other. Today, nobody really looks out for anybody else. It's really more of a, and it's going to sound like bad, but it's more of a selfish game today.
Yeah, Eric.
Nobody
Eric
looks out
just,
for anybody.
Eric, right before you came on the line, Eric had just alluded to that as well.
Mm-hmm. It's very
especially
selfish.
Like not to say anything bad about them, but like the ramp from what I see from like and like I said, I'm a Kevin Steen fan. I like his work.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like he's worked hard. I know you probably know him personally. I've never met him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've
I see that he pays dues. Like he worked in JAP back in the day with you guys and
mm-hmm.
and. I'm just, you know, just seeing that like a big guy doing his thing. I pop big for that. So, and just to see his like he does a weekly show, the Weekend Escapades, I think on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and from what it looks like, it just looks like the Ring of Honor. They have like a clique of guys that pretty much just stick together. And
well,
I say that there's anything wrong with that,
room,
but
though.
But really
you
is.
Know.
You know, does a new guy have a chance to come in there and really make a name for himself? Or
not
like,
unless
you
he's buying the locker room dinner.
Hey, there you go. Exactly.
I think a lot of people, like, and they talk about those type of guys, the Kevin Steens, it took them years, and I mean years. They came in what, 2003 to the United States? Or maybe it was 2004. They came in at
2004.
They worked at 2004. CW and JPW. But
yep.
To get where they're at now to then, that's 10 years, okay? That's
mm-hmm.
10 years to get where they were at. I mean, some guys, it takes them, and I'll say it, whatever. Teddy Hart, for example,
mm-hmm.
has all the talent in the world, has the heart, name, everything. Yeah, he works hard, and then he comes to shows, and he just, you know, starts, you know, it might be controversy might be good, but he starts a lot of controversy, okay? And he's not booked in the United States. I haven't seen him booked in the United States in 2 years, okay?
Is he still back?
That's
a
guy who has.
I think he got blackballed in Mexico, actually.
Yeah. Not a surprise.
Jack Evans is still
Jack
down
is
there,
still though. Down there, right?
Yeah, Jack is. He's one of the top guys up there.
Yeah. Conan really put his neck out for Teddy a lot of times.
Yeah.
But
a lot of guys do. But see, the thing is, Teddy's one of these kids. He's a cool dude if you catch him by himself. But when there's people around, he feels that he has to live up to this reputation that was set 10 years ago when he first started coming down here and trying to do all the crazy stuff that he did. And, you know, he's kind of like I don't know.
He lives his gimmick. He lives his gimmick too much.
Yeah, he lives his gimmick, but he's definitely one of these kids that, like, there's that girl in the news who's suing her parents for college tuition. And they said, like, her brother was like, she's very entitled and she doesn't know anything and whatever. Like, I feel like that's how Teddy was raised. He was raised around a lot of fame. And when people aren't as famous as the rest of his crew or family are around him, he kind of gets like that, whatever. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trashing Teddy. Teddy's a cool-ass dude. I've hung out with him in hotels and, you know what I'm saying? Like, we've just hung out in locker rooms and stuff. And we joke around a lot. He's a cool dude, funny dude, you know. But he definitely, his mindset is different than everybody else's because he comes from a different background than everybody else. So
his
not
gimmick
that I'm
is something
excuse,
else with that fucking cat. With that cat, he's
with the cat.
He's like
how awesome is that?
He's like a classic villain out of like DC Comics.
Did you see him? Did you see him twirling the cat in the air?
No.
I'm waiting for Animal Control to contact him and say, hey, chill out with that.
I hope not. That's the best part, watching the cat fly.
I think if you tried it with a dog or something,
I think, of course.
See, this is the thing. You know, one of these days, one of those cats are going to land claw first on his face or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that'll be it for him, you know. That'll be it for him.
The crazy thing is he told us about like 5 years ago, he's like, I'm training these cats to walk out to the ring with me on their front paws and stuff. We're like, okay, Ted, yeah, sure. Sure enough, he's legit doing it.
I don't know how he does that. I don't know how you could live that gimmick every day.
Teddy Hart is on a different planet than us. Just remember that.
Yeah, he definitely is.
Y'all, you know, on Facebook and, you know, Twitter and everything, y'all have been, you know, and I'm even doing it. The WWE Network, all right? Isn't this the greatest thing, like, that has happened in a while for wrestling?
It definitely sparked a lot more interest in professional wrestling than there's been in a long time. And
barely any negative comments at all about it. Like, everybody seems very positive about it.
I mean, most everybody I know was able to sign in and get an account the first day, considering how impossible it felt like that first hour trying to sign in. Ah, I won't go. It won't load. You know what I mean? But everybody I know pretty much had an account the first day and was talking about how great it was. And that was with all the bugs. And, I mean, I think, the Xbox still doesn't work with it, right?
No, they said it works now. So.
Oh, okay.
But they said you can't search for anything.
You can
only just...
Oh, you can't search anything. That's pretty gay.
Yeah, apparently you can, like, apparently it gives you a bunch of stuff that you can watch, and you can't really, like, search, like, the specific, like, hey, I want to search for, because I don't know if you know this, but you can actually search names of people and actually pops up the stuff. So, like, if you, like, for you know, just for a laugh, I actually typed in Rock and Rebel, you know?
Yeah.
And... Well, I got like two things for Rebel. Like, I think it said like something about an ECW and like something else. I was like, ha, that's fine.
Right.
He's up on the lookout for all that stuff, so he might want to look it up.
Oh, that's why I just mentioned, because he's always on Facebook saying, hey, send me what shows you see me on. I'm like,
well, I'll see him. I'll pass the message along. I'll see him this weekend.
I love Rock and Rebel. He's the greatest racist to have in any locker room.
Oh, I was just gonna say that. he's like, hey, don't bring any 15 yarders with you. I'm like, you are just out of control. You're
we
out of your
we
mind.
were doing uh, We're doing Carino's Fed in Pottstown, Pennsylvania, PWF. And we had a feud against Rapid Fire Maldonado and the SAT. They were the Latino Alliance. Now, me and Mop are both very large Hispanic males. I'm part Puerto Rican myself, Puerto Rican Italian myself. But Mop is 100% Puerto Rican. And they team us up with the Rocket Rebel against the Latino Alliance. And we were the good guys. That's part of it. I can't make that up.
I remember seeing something like that. I remember it was on television at WGTW 48 at one point when that was like the wrestling channel. The independent wrestling channel was like every day at midnight. It was less different. Like PWF, CW.
That's awesome. I get hit up all the time because there's a channel. I don't know if it's still around, but there was a channel in England and I think Germany and France.
Wrestling channel.
Where there's all, it was all wrestling. And people would see all the stuff from JP and Long Island and whatever else and Ring of Honor. And they would just hit me up. Hey, we need you guys to. Meanwhile, me and my pet had teamed up for like 5 years.
Yeah,
they'd be like,
I got hit up a few times too from fucking my rare USA Pro appearances at that time.
Yes.
I was telling somebody the other day. I said, how awesome, and it kind of, like, I thought about it, and I, you know, it was kind of a cool idea at first, but how awesome would it be if the independent scene had something along the lines of the WB Network, where you could pretty much watch shows, like past shows, old shows, because honestly, there's so much good shit that I don't think this generation has seen or has access to, but it's on VHS tapes or certain things, and
I've told Frank Goodman so many times, like he should sell his video library to WWE or something. Or,
but I don't know if he owns it. I think Harrington Talents owns his library.
Right, you're right. Remember Harrington Talents were the one that they were filming that for a while.
Yeah, so I think they're the ones in possession of that library. But here's the thing:
my favorite USA Pro show ever. Was the one? It was in Mineola, Knights of Columbus. I believe you may have been in attendance, Mr. Monster Mac. And it was during the Sweeney Dub era, and it was Ken Sweeney versus Prince Nana.
When his teeth got knocked out. When Nana's teeth got knocked out.
Yes. And he proceeded to beat the ever-living shit out of Ken Sweeney.
That was the same show that me and Moff wrestled the Road Warriors, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, you wrestled the Road
Warriors. Really? That happened?
Yeah. 8-hour show.
Yes. And then we had to drive Hawk over to New Jersey for the JCW.
Oh, my God. For
there
JCW.
Is footage. Somebody has footage. There is. There was footage on YouTube, but I haven't seen it in a while. But I know Harrington still has it.
Oh my
Actually,
God.
No,
I have that videotape in my mom's basement. I have that videotape of that show in my mom's basement.
We need to get that online again.
Yeah, I would love to get just I mean, that match. Me and my brother, we rewound that and just hysterical. We slow motioned it. Just, oh my God. He threw him like a lawn dart. Like kind of how you guys threw Danny Drake that time.
Yes.
Remember when was that in the Elks Lodge when you threw him into the
into the wall? That was at Bayonne for JAP.
All right. I think you did it in USA Pro too.
It's possible. I've done it. I've done it all over the world. But real quick, going back to the thing about the WWE network and indie stuff, I was saying this the other day. Don't be surprised if a lot of indie stuff starts getting bought up within the next year or so because of all their guys working in the indies before. But if we were all smart right now, as soon as we hung up or while we're on the phone, one of us would come up with the idea and trademark it because, you know, it would be awesome if you could upload your own stuff onto an on-demand network of just indie wrestling and people, you know, you could either charge a fee or, you know, per view or charge a one-time fee, whatever it is you want to do. And just, like, I would sit there and watch more Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or,
there was a site like that, though, where you could buy like matches to watch from
really?
Indies and stuff. Yeah, I think it was like an on-demand type of thing. I don't think it's around anymore, but
I mean,
but
there needs to be. Oh, I know what you're talking about.
That would
click,
get everybody
like
more
Click Wrestle or something.
Yeah.
Well, Click Wrestle, yes, Click Wrestle.
Yeah, Click Wrestle.
Yeah. There needs to be more of that.
High Spots has something.
But it's whatever they upload, right?
But the classics, like the real classics, the Monster Mac, like we're talking the Metal Maniac. That's what we want to see.
Can I tell you, one of me and Moff's early great matches was against KC Thunder and the Metal Maniac, and we had such an awesome match with them because it was just straight up slow and old school, and Metal Maniac came up to, "Brother, I just want to thank you. You made me feel like I can wrestle Jimmy again." And we just stopped laughing. Bro, I miss Metal Maniac. He was awesome.
Oh, my God. He's the best. Is that guy, is he still in Hawaii?
I think so.
He claims to be in Hawaii, or I don't know.
No, he's in Hawaii. He has a girl or something out there that he's living with. If that's gospel, but that's what I've definitely heard, that he's in Hawaii with a woman out there.
Wow. So, yeah, so like I was, the WWE Network, my take on it, I think the pre-show that they do and the backstage cast, the first week was the shits. I thought it was, like, it was very, very, it was almost insulting to the fans because it was that panel thing that they do, and that panel thing, it just doesn't work as well because the fans are just too smart nowadays. But this week was great. This week was great because they went back to the ring. They showed, and that's what people want to see. They want to see what happens after they go off the air, and the stuff that they did with Stephanie in the back, and then you know, just that little thing with Hunter when Renee Young said, "Oh, looks like we have Triple H coming over here," and he went in front of the camera and he was like, "No, you don't," and then he walked away. Just that little bit is worth it to have it, you know.
Yeah. No, I didn't watch all of the stuff right away. The only thing I did watch was the NXT show, which was
God. With
like
Cesaro
TNA should
and
be
Zane.
Worried. TNA should be shitting themselves because everything NXT did was right, and TNA can't even come close to it. And that's sad because they have so much talent in TNA, but there's so many people with their heads up their asses when it comes to putting out stories or, you know, not even stories, just put out good matches. You don't need a good story. Just put out good matches. And then the stories could come naturally from that, you know what I mean? But these guys, they want to be the next Hollywood Oscar winner that worked for TNA and created a show, a producer show. Shut up. It's wrestling. People want to see wrestling. They don't give a crap about the soap opera as much. You know what I mean? No, you know, for anyone to care about the soap opera, you have to have good wrestling. That's pretty much as basic as you could get, and TNA doesn't get that. But with NXT, it was all wrestling. And even the stuff with, like, Emma that I'm becoming a big fan of for whatever reason. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Me too.
But, you know, like, even the stuff with her, she was awesome. And that chick, what's her name, Paige? She's insanely great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just sucks that, like, people feel already like they're going to be brought up to the main roster and get killed by AJ or whatever, but they got to pay their dues. That's what happens. You pay your dues, and then when you finally establish that credibility, then you can start making some money. Then you can start winning some matches. You know, people want instant gratification. It don't work that way. It never has.
Nope, definitely not in this business.
No, they're signing everybody. They're re-signing everybody and their mother. I mean, hell, the news came out, 2 days ago that WWE signed Drake Younger, you know?
Well, Drake is definitely one of those guys that he's a really, like, you know, there aren't too many guys like Drake in the business who is just a pure good guy. Like, he is the kind of guy that would definitely go up to a homeless guy and give him the shoes off his feet. Because
my God,
he
would the energy that you get off of that guy just from seeing him on video. I never met him in person, but just from seeing him talk in video, he's so genuine.
I've wrestled him. He's a great wrestler. That's the thing. He did all that hardcore ultra-violent stuff for so long, and that was to make a buck. But actually wrestling, he's a great wrestler, and people don't understand that. They just think of him as breaking light tubes and thumbtacks and stuff like that. But he has a lot of talent, a lot of charisma, a lot of ability, and that's why he got signed. I guarantee you, if they signed him as a ref, it won't last as him being a ref. He'll eventually be switched over to being a wrestler at one point.
Oh, forget it. He'll have Daniel Bryan type of heat.
I hope so. One can only hope. Yeah.
They're doing right. I'm telling you, they're doing it right with Daniel Bryan right now, and I think everything that they're doing to set up this WrestleMania is going to be pretty good. I think that Triple H match is going to happen. My guess is Stephanie's going to get knocked out or something in the next week or two, and then that'll force Triple H into the match. And then there'll be a stipulation where if he beats Triple H, he gets the title shot. Of course, they'll laugh at him. And then, lo and behold, you know, the Three Stooges thing will happen, and he'll win. And hopefully, it'll be a good WrestleMania main event moment.
Here's the thing, right? What you said can be seen as the obvious route, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Because they like to keep things simple, you know, and then twist at the end, and it becomes so commonplace that it becomes the obvious route, you know what I mean? But if you really wanted to make things awesome, right, a lot of people aren't sure what's going on with Punk. Why not instead of – you make it like it's going to be Triple H and Daniel Bryan, but then at the last second, out comes Punk, and you have those two go at it. You know what I'm saying? And then not only just back as a heel – you know, and I don't know what he's doing. I know Punk. I don't know him. Like, we're not buddy-buddy that we talk every day on the phone. But, you know, I know he likes to work everybody, which is fine. That's perfectly fine. It doesn't bother me. This is the age of that. Everybody's smart. Everybody knows what's going on, but nobody really knows what the hell is going on. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
You know.
It's Monday Friday.
Everybody thought he was coming on Monday.
Yeah, Meltzer fooled. Meltzer was saying that. Oh, he's going to be there.
Yeah, everybody.
I've had Meltzer on this show before, too.
So you just...
And then Meltzer was covering up his bases on Tuesday. He was all, it was only a 50-50. And the person and the person that told me wasn't with the company right now. But they're very close to the company.
And how much does he get paid to do that kind of stuff? He gets paid more money than any wrestler on the independent scene.
Well, it's enough people out there. It's enough demand, and like you said, you know, you got to pay your dues in the business. And unfortunately, you know, fortunately for him, as a journalist, he's like the main guy who's been around forever. So,
well. I just want to see them do something different, you know? It sucks that everybody can predict what's going on.
Well, the thing is that they fucked Daniel Bryan so much. Like, how do you not do it? The only way different you can do it is to give it to him. But I think it would suck knowing their mentality, like Macho Mac said, that you probably, yes, the way that I said it would be the storybook way for it to go. But knowing their mentality, they really haven't done that since I think Ray won the title. Oh, no, since I think when Benoit won the title at 25, was it Benoit or Eddie won the title at 25?
At 20.
At the Garden, right?
That was Benoit.
I remember the sequence. Shawn went for the super kick over the top rope. He turned around. Triple H kicked him for the pedigree. Boom, reverse into the cross face tap. And then they had the big moment with Eddie in the ring. They haven't done that in so long, and they probably won't do it again. They'll probably put the title on him when it's already a pay-per-view after that. And then it just won't be the same, I don't think. And he might get like a Mysterio type of push, you know.
Well, right now I think what's going on, you know, I know a lot of things. They try to make it look like they don't know what's really going on, but they do. And whatever, you know, like cause they always say, you know, it wouldn't be on TV if it didn't get the okay. They only let you see what they want you to see. You know what I mean? But I really do think that. Whereas before they used to plan things out months in advance, I think now they plan things out pay-per-view to pay-per-view. And, you know,
I agree 100%.
Yeah, it sucks booking that way because, you know, a lot of guys, if they get a good 2 or 3 month run with somebody, the final product will be so much more amazing and more watchable than what they give us in 4 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
But you also got to look at what do I know? They've been screwed so many times with injuries with those long-term plans that they kind of have to book it month to month. The only thing I'm going to say this, and I can't get an answer from anybody, and I'm gonna ask you guys. Okay, now the invention of the internet has hurt the wrestling business, and it also has helped the wrestling business.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think something like a gag order would do with the wrestling business? Because it seems like information comes out like crazy.
That would never happen. That would never happen.
Yeah. There's just too many people, too many leaks, too many moles.
It's come full circle. I think the internet hurt the wrestling business at first, and now it's like it's a part of it. I mean, you know, you just got to accept it, you know, just like top guys in the game today, and, you know, smaller guys, and the style that I said that was invented by Red and the SATs is now your main events in most places. It's the same way the internet came in. You know, people were shitting on it at first and said it wasn't good. You know, it's bad for the business. But now, you know, like you got the WWE Network with the internet.
Well, the thing that I'm noticing a lot of, there's a lot of guys, and Ring of Honor is definitely guilty for this, right? There are a lot of guys who look like wannabe MMA fighters. And rather than knowing how to fight, they know how to wrestle. And, like, you know, the one thing about, like, and I bring this up because he's my family and he's one of the guys that I train with. When you see Loki, you know he fights. You know he knows how to fight. There's no doubting in your mind that if he kicked you in the face, he would knock you out. But then there's guys who you see, they go to kick in the face, and it looks so rehearsed and so unnatural. And
or they
you
miss.
Tell they wouldn't be able to fight their way out of a wet paper bag. You know what I mean?
With scissors in the hand. They miss. They miss completely.
it's pretty bad.
Like Sheamus is a good dude, but yeah, he completely misses that bro kick every single time.
Well, I think though that's a good thing that he misses because
he's a big boy. He's a big boy.
Train, you know?
Got a lot of potatoes in him. Yeah, like a guy like RVD, he never missed too often.
Oh no, he definitely didn't miss, but he definitely took people's teeth out with his kick. So, you know, and I get it. You know what I mean? Like some people, you know, they need to make contact. I definitely need to make contact, and you know, it looks better when. And I say it all the time. If I'm in there with a smaller guy and he's not hitting me hard, I'm gonna put him to sleep. And it's not because I'm not because I'm a jerk, but because if you're watching two guys fight, whether they know it's predetermined or it's a shoot, whatever it is, and that little dude doesn't do what he has to do to try to get me off my feet and knock me out, I'm going to put him to sleep first. You know, and a lot of people don't understand that. You know, they see, you know, guys like Rey Mysterio wrestling Big Show and getting away with offense. In reality, what should really be is just him going and knocking him out with one punch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. should get caught, and I totally agree with that. In Puerto Rico, that's what happened. I wrestled this one green kid. He was coming in. He was coming in for a tryout, and he tried that soft shit with me, that soft kick with me. And I'm supposed to be. They were bringing me in, pushing me in as the big gringo heel at this point. And it's like my fourth week in, and this kid. This is a TV match, and this kid's giving me like little fucking love taps, and I said, give me the boot. Spanish, and he like handed me his foot, and I just pulled him in, and I just gave him a clothesline, knocked him unconscious, out cold, I mean out cold. Estrada, Jose Estrada Sr. was my manager. He had to come over and distract the refs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. It was I never dealt with a situation like that. So I was like, what the fuck? So, yeah, I totally get that. I totally get that. I hate when guys are too soft. You got to be. And
then here's the other thing.
You got a football background,
too.
Right? You guys, you guys played
football
in high school.
Baseball, basketball, everything. I played everything. So, you know, I even tennis I played. So, yeah, here's the thing. A lot of these guys, you know, they don't know business either. So they will go out there and, you know, it's in front of 50 people and they're trying to decapitate each other. You know, like if you have a reason for it, all right, fine. By all means, do what you got to do to make sure people come for the next show. But make sure they come for the next show and you can make the next show. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
A lot of these cats are getting concussions or broken limbs, and for what? You know, like, because you want to get the 50 people to, you know, cheer that you actually made contact and you could hear the contact with your clothesline? No. You got to make sure it's for a reason. Don't just be stupid and do anything for any reason, you know?
Yeah, like these plancha dives, they get crazy sometimes, too.
Mm-hmm.
There's much more of those today nowadays, and it's like, ugly sometimes.
It's definitely a different business. It's in a different place than it was 10, 15 years ago, you know. Now it's, like I said, it's definitely a selfish environment. There's no team, whereas before, you know, there's always going to be a selfish guy who's looking for top money. But, you know, you gotta work so that way everybody can prosper, not just one guy, you know?
Yeah. Definitely, definitely.
Do you think also that they're, even in this, maybe the next 20 years, do you think WWE will have a significant amount of competition, or do you think it will be the same as it is now?
When was the last time they had competition? 10 years ago?
They're just
20 years. No, within the next 20 years, do you think that there will be some type, more of a threat with competition?
The only way
there is now, because we all know TNA is not really doing anything.
I think Forbes just recognized Vince as a billionaire on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Steve Jobs or Bill Gates' kid is a huge, wrestling fan.
I was just gonna say that, bro. Like,
I think they pretty much have a market cornered.
Yeah, it's become a monopoly just for the plain and simple fact that anybody who's starting now would need such a significant amount of money, and it's just not worth it. You know, it would be such a loss for a while before any positive would come into the company, you know? So unless, you know, and here's the thing, you know, WWE has the United States, they have most of Europe, they have Japan. If somebody in one of those countries, you know, one of those continents could come up with something and establish it in Europe or in Japan or in Asia or in Africa and just build it up there, take over the whole continent, just there. And then people get, you know, if you build enough a good enough product and people get intrigued to want to watch, anything's possible. But I don't see there being enough money for someone to just come out of nowhere and I'm going to take on Vince McMahon. Okay, good luck.
No, I don't see anybody ever taking on Vince McMahon. I think I think the only thing that can happen to expand it, because there's so many more wrestlers than spots, obviously. Is if they do something like if they build a territory system, and they have the money to do it, and they build a territory system and start out with 10 states, start out with even 5 states, and just start like almost like you would a baseball league or a farm basketball league, and just set up territories for people. Where guys can make money and guys can make a living working in different territories and just start it that way. And, of course, it'll have a WWE name on it. WWE will be behind it. But for the most part, I mean, you have so many guys that are talented wrestlers out there that don't have jobs with the WWE. So why not do that? I mean, you can't take the $1 billion
now, do you think that would weed out some of the guys if you put in that territory system into place? Do you think that would weed out a lot of guys?
It definitely would, because they would only
guys
want...
that...
Well, it would, because they would only want the guys who can draw, you know, and the guys who have talent. But the only thing that would prevent a territory system from working in today's world is the internet. Back then, there was no internet. There wasn't really a tape trading type deal. So a guy like Stan Hansen could work in Oklahoma for 3 months. He could go to Florida for 3 months. He could go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And, yeah, nobody knew because the TV didn't bump into each other. That's why the territory system was it worked so well. But, you know, I definitely think that they should be cultivating the talent from all around the country and using the home base of whatever talent. There's a lot of guys in California who can work. There's a lot of guys in Texas who can work. There's a lot of guys up in Minnesota and Chicago that can work. You know, and obviously in the Northeast area, if you take just those five areas alone and build up a little something, like Tim said, you know, I definitely believe that, you know, you can get
and
more
also internationally, because like you made a point, you know, WWE can do that internationally. You know, WWE International,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
have like something like that in England, because you've been to England, right?
Actually, that's one of my places that I haven't been that's on my bucket list. I'm dying to go.
But places like that, places like where
mm-hmm.
guys who have made it have been, England,
mm-hmm.
Germany,
mm-hmm.
Mexico, Japan, and
yep.
it would be great to see it come back in Puerto Rico if they could do something. They could definitely do something like that down in Puerto Rico. Because before you came on the line, I was saying there's so much talent. There's a lot of talent down there, but it's just that
mm-hmm.
there's no money and everybody's
yeah.
working for free. And there's like 30 different independent promotions down there, and nobody works. And everybody's working for free, and nobody goes to the shows. So.
Yep. Yeah, it's rough. It's rough because, you know, there's all these guys, and it goes back to knowing how to do business. All these guys are putting themselves out there for cheap. And a lot of times, in this area, the problem was there's a lot of talent. So the sucky guys who would work for a $10 payday or a hot dog were getting on the card because they were cheap. Meanwhile, the guys who had talent weren't being put on because they were, you know, asking for $100, $150, which in reality isn't that much.
It's not a lot, no.
For a promoter, you got to think, if you had, let's say you had 10 guys that were asking for $150, you know, that's $1,500, and, you know, that's just on that, when $1,500 could pay for the venue, the ring, and a couple other things, you know what I mean? So... you know, the promoters see the cheap way, and they went with guys who, you know, and they still do it, guys who just come out of the backyard. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with coming out of the backyard as long as you go to the next level and get trained properly. You know, everybody has to start somewhere. I will never badmouth a backyarder because
no.
Where I came from, we were fortunate enough to have a ring inside of a building, but we weren't different than any backyarders. Me, Louie, Homicide, Key, Key and Mace and Buffy, we all got together and were wrestling, but we had no training. It wasn't until Homicide and Lathan showed us how to work. You know, we got that next level, and then we moved on to the doghouse, and, you know, we got more training and got more experience. Like, if you do it that way, it's not wrong with it, you know what I mean? But, you know, a lot of these kids, they don't do that. They get booked on a show to sell tickets, and they think they are part of the roster, and they think they're the boys, you know, and they're not. They don't understand that.
No.
So that's why it's in the shape that it's in the business, because a lot of cats who should be in the crowd are on the wrong side of the railing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I used to frown upon it at the time, but I get it for why he did it. And Frank Goodman with the ticket sellers, he did it
mm-hmm.
the best way, because he would throw them all in a battle royal,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. Their family and friends would come, and guess what? The boys who deserve to get paid what they're supposed to be paid would get paid that, and the ticket sellers, look, you're on a wrestling show. You're happy? Now you're on a wrestling show. You sold my tickets, and now I can pay my boys, and that's
yeah.
it. And Goodman's infamous for being cheap. I know that, but
actually,
so
he has
the right idea.
I will say Goodman, and I know I'm going to probably go to hell for putting over Frank Goodman, but Frank Goodman always took care of me, and if there was ever going to be a problem with pay, he would tell me in advance. He'd call me like the week of and say, Steve, I'm only going to be able to blah, blah, blah. Are you cool with that? If you're not, let me know, and then we'll work something for the next show. You know what I mean? He always did that. He gave me the courtesy to call and, you know, let me know what was going on in advance. And I know he didn't do that with everybody, but I'm just saying, you know, for me, I never had a problem with
He was afraid of you, even though he's a big guy, you know. He was afraid of you.
It could be, but I never admit that.
But honestly, you guys were like one of his top three draws.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of the two or three names that he would bring in, you guys were right there. Like right before Maine. I mean, people would go nuts because they would be hammered in the Elks Lodge, and then you guys just come out and pummel the shit out of whoever you fought, and
you beat the hell out of the Elks Lodge too.
Over as fuck. You guys sold a lot of those. You guys sold a lot of those orange repeat offender shirts, right?
Yeah. Actually, Moss sold them. He was the one that came up with the idea, so he got to sell and profit out of all of them. It was all right. He paid for my gear. That was a trade-off. He paid for my gear,
man.
And he kept the t-shirt
right.
money. No, trust me. That gear, some of that gear was really expensive.
On a side note, I'm glad to see him back doing his thing.
Yeah.
Still team up from time to time, right?
Yeah. We just had a little bit of a problem in that. We were supposed to do a tournament for JCW, and there's a little bit of problems behind the scenes between JCW, PWS, and PWS pulled off all PWS talent from JCW. You know, indie nonsense, because
everybody... New Jersey indie nonsense, which never seems to go away.
Yeah, well, it's all over, because Goodman did it with the Doghouse, too. Goodman... He'll tell you he's the one that shut down the Doghouse. You know what I mean? It's all over. It's not just. It's,
can I? Oh man, I have to say this. So PWS is the first time I went to one pro wrestling. I can't believe I'm gonna say this. Whatever. I went to WrestleMania weekend last year. They'd hit a double shot in McCutcheon, right?
Yes.
I went to, because I'm a huge Juice and Liger fan. Huge Juice and Liger, you know. I went to the show where he wrestled John Morrison, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the main event of that show was Necro and New Jack, right?
Yes.
In New Jack's last match. And I really wanted to see that. And I was hoping that it would be, you know, middle of the card, you know. It was the main event. Well, let me just tell you that it's the first time that I went to a show and I didn't even stay for the match that I wanted. I was completely disgusted and bored with
PWS. Really?
Yeah,
wow.
I was really bored. I was at the end of the night and I didn't even it was so uncomfortable to be at that show. Like, the fans really made me feel like I was like, wow, these people are just coming to see these, you know, all the legends that they paid for. They're not like, I like when a crowd, like, you know, gives a good effort, because the crowd helps wrestling to 100%. Like, you know, if you got a good crowd, you're going to work your butt off, you know. It's not bad about it. But if you have a crowd that is, you know, you can do 15, you know, you can have the best match of the night, and if people are like, yeah, whatever, like, you can have the best match of the night planned out.
If they think they're smart.
Like, it was so bad. I felt like I was telling people that I knew that were, like, promoters. I think I even, like, sent a message to DJ. I'm like, I sent him a message. I was like, damn, I wish I would have went to WrestleCon. Like, it was such an embarrassment. Like, what do you mean? I was like, honestly, I've never felt that way before. Like, I've went to, like, shows where I got in for free, and I've left early because I was embarrassed to be at the show, because it was, like, old guys that should have retired 40 years ago. Still wrestling, but they were like 50, so, like, you know, they should never have gotten the business.
Yeah,
you know.
Well,
and
all I know is I was at the show, and I'll give them this: they guess both nights they had large crowds, and
yes, of course, I know that 100%.
One thing, the one thing that, you know, is a consistent, they're drawing 500-plus every show. I won't say, you know, they're drawing 1,000, because not every show is going to be 1,000, but PWS is drawing, and that's because they're the only game in town right now where,
right.
you know, they're bringing all of these top names, and that's good for them. They're capitalizing, you know what I mean? Like, that's what they got to do, man. You know,
but they're not going to draw, and here's the thing. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get heat for it, whatever, I don't care. You're not going to get 800 people to see Pat Buck wrestle Kevin, you know, or Kevin Matthews wrestle. You're going to get 800 people are going to come to see Bret Hart, okay? That's the reason why that people, Juice and Liger, you know, if you take all those guys off that card and you maybe have a Tommy Dreamer, you maybe have 200 people. I'm not even going to kid with you on that. I'm going
to
be honest.
But the thing is, if you're going to have all these names, you should use those names to elevate. They're putting Moff in with Ken Shamrock. Now, that should be a match that people are like, wait a minute. Ken Shamrock, even though he's old, I know that dude is fucking insane. So
he's a shooter.
And Moff
he's a shooter. And Moff
this
is
should
hard.
Be, yeah,
nobody
this
ever,
be something
nobody
I
ever saw
see.
The match before. That's a
no,
match people
course.
Want to see.
So now, here's the thing. What's going to come out of that match that's going to make me want to come to the next PWS show? You know what I'm saying? Like, if they're thinking about that, then they're doing a good business. But if they just have a match and Shamrock goes over on Moff, okay, well then that was a waste of $2,000 or whatever Shamrock costs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
but they're going to make that money. They're
going
to make that money back.
Yeah, but if it doesn't help Moff, that's looking at short term. You should be looking at long term. If you're going to spend that much money, you should be looking at long term. And then it's not just PWS. There's a lot of companies that do that. They bring in whatever name, put them in there with whatever guy, and instead of making something come out of it, they just, you know, have the name, go over on the local guy, and you never see them again. And next month, the guy's wrestling his friend again, and they're having the same match that they've been having for the last 2 years. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, you know Corey Havoc, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Corey is a good... Good buddy of mine. He worked hard. He's, you know, he really didn't come from much in terms of a wrestling school or a good push from anywhere. He worked for Panzerino for a long time.
Yeah.
And now the chip for JB Smoothie. I saw online just the other day and a match against Matt Hardy, and it was just like a squash. Like I was like, it was twice. Like he wrestled him twice in 10 minutes. And all Hardy did was hit the twist of fate twice. I was like, really? I was like, couldn't give him
the same? The thing is, like, I actually just had a very long conversation with Corey Havoc because for years I always thought him and his partner, Steve Rogers,
Steve,
the Rude
Steve
Dudes.
Steve Rogers, yeah. Good guys, the Rude Dudes.
Exactly. They're good.
Aristocratsradio.com.
Yes, sir.
Give a little plug.
They are two good hands in the ring. They're smart. They're eager. They're hungry. And I've always thought because they stayed just doing NWS, you know, they were the big fish in the tiny pond, whereas if they would have ventured out maybe to a JAP or whatever, they would have gotten more exposure, been getting the, you know, more solid bookings. And right now, Corey's starting to pick up his bookings, which is a great thing for me.
Okay,
I mean?
Yeah. And I told him that. I told him that because Mustang, honestly, that was my mistake in the beginning. I stayed at Johnny's and... I was telling Eric before you came on the line, like, I had that old-school mentality of I would listen to him when he would tell me, you're not ready to go out. And, you know, I'm so thankful for the training that I got from him. But at the same time, I wasn't getting my name out there. My first real cherry, like Eric had said, was in Puerto Rico. And nobody knows Tim Arson here. They only know the zombie. And so, like, you know, I'm kind of like stuck in that position, you know, until I get my shoulder surgery and get back in the gym and can get back into some type of respectable shape where I feel comfortable taking my shirt off. I got to be a zombie, you know, and I told Corey that. I was like, Corey, don't make the same mistake I did. Start getting your name out there. You're better than just working for Panzerino. He douches you all the time, you know. And start,
well,
so, yeah,
see,
it's
the
good
thing
to
was,
see him
like,
getting out there.
I think, you know, he was there, you know, and it's scary when you try to leave your comfort zone, you know what I mean? And if they're working, and that was the good thing about working NWS, they were working twice a week, almost every week for a long time. You know what I mean? But
yeah, but you're
nothing,
paying shit. Like $20, $25.
No, but see, the thing is, if you're getting the experience, then you can forgive the pay as long as you're getting the experience. They had reached a plateau, and they weren't getting any higher.
There
you know
go.
What I mean?
That's what
so,
I'm talking about. With us.
You know, they needed to get off of that plateau and leave the comfort end of it. But, you know, at the same time, you know, there's, and this is the dilemma I had with Moff, you know, you could get what you're getting paid for PWS, or you could get, you know, what you're getting paid for another company that's running once or twice a month. You know what I mean? Like, it sucks because you want to, you know, get your name out there and do what you got to do. But if you're going to get paid a certain amount of money to do, you know, one show, not one show, but, you know, to do one company, work for one company, and it's more than working for another place five times a month, then, you know, you got to make that tough choice. You know what I mean? And unfortunately,
yes.
That's a good problem to have, I guess you could say.
Can I just interrupt for one second? Are you guys going to be on for a little while longer? Because my girl
actually,
was trying to call
show
me.
Actually, 11 o'clock, so I was just about to say something. We have, you know, I think it's been great, but, you know,
okay.
I don't have the show until 11.
I got to cut because my girl probably thinks I'm out schmutting around. She's
yeah.
called me three times.
You got to give me a favor, though, Tim. Tim, just do me one quick favor. What the hell do you use for dirt on your clothes?
What?
Yeah, what do you use for the dirt on your clothes?
Well, I mean, you know, it's been snowing a lot here, so we have the salt right on the side
That's
of the
awesome.
Car. I like to call it the salt of the earth, brother.
That's what's up. Tim, it's been awesome talking to you, man.
Yes, you too, Watson Mac. I hope I see you soon, brother.
Yes.
Honestly, really, like I got to – you're on Facebook, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
We'll do this again. We should definitely do this again.
Definitely.
There's so much more to talk about, you know.
Yes.
So much more. We could go on for hours.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much, brother. Guys, at Tim Arson on Twitter for anybody that enjoys this and would like to talk more. Always open to talking to new people about wrestling, life, advice, anything you need. I got you.
That's what's up. And for me, it's Steve Mac DHS. Just look it up on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I just want to plug the two big shows that I have coming up. March 28th, I believe it's Hasbro Heights. It's for Jersey Championship Wrestling. It's their J-Cup Tag Tournament that I was part of the initial J-Cup Tag Tournament with Moff and the Haas Brothers way back when in the early 2000s. And, you know, this tournament was originally supposed to be me and Moff, but like I said, PWS and JCW have been having their problems, so instead of me and Moff, you get me and Homicide. And
who's JCW, Mac? Is that
Ricky O? Ricky O.
Oh, Ricky O.
Yes.
Frank is back in the fixer.
Who knows when JP
Ricky
will be
o.
back? Hopefully
Ricky
soon.
O.
But yeah,
Ricky O is
definitely back. And, you know, they've been drawing really good, solid crowds. I went to the last show over at Kenilworth, and it was pretty awesome. Not Kenilworth, Union, I'm sorry. And it was pretty packed. The next night, they packed it up, too. And they're having solid lineups. They got a really good
show.
That is March 28th. Also, the 29th, they're in Queens at the Elks Lodge, which is kind of funny, Jersey Championship Wrestling in Queens. However,
that's great.
But I'll be wrestling one of the younger guys, the young blood, who's very talented, Kyle the Beast. This kid is a big ox, and I don't mean that in a fat way. I mean that in a muscular way. And I've seen him powerbomb guys that weigh 350 pounds multiple times in a row. And this kid is definitely what his name says. He's the beast, and I'm looking forward to beating the snot out of him. It's going to be a really good fight. I promise you that.
That'll be good.
So,
that'll be good.
March 28th, March 29th. Jersey Queens, Jersey Championship Wrestling. Check it out.
I'm going to hit you up on that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, guys. So everybody have a good night.
All right, Tim.
All right, thank you, guys.
Take care,
awesome
guys.
To you.
Yes, great talking to everybody. Bye-bye.
All right.
So.
good stuff. Thank you. Thank you.
We got to do this again next time.
We definitely got to do this. I originally wanted to have Tim on at 9 o'clock and call in till, you know, till 10. And then earlier he sent me a message saying he was definitely down to do it. And then 30 minutes before the show, he said he got in a rear end car accident, and he said he couldn't call until 9:30. So I was like, well, I don't know, I don't want to rush him. So I was like, well, you know, I've done something like this before. I had Eddie Kingston, B-Boy on the same time.
Nice.
And I've done I had planned it to have them on the whole time. And I did the Blackout reunion. I had all four members of Blackout on the show at the same time.
That's awesome.
So, I like doing those type of things where people can talk with, you know,
well,
I don't have to just ask questions, you know.
If you ever want me in Homicide, we always have the greatest stories, trust me.
Yeah, I actually contacted Homicide yesterday about doing something, and his response, because I've had him on before, I had done a Trent Acid tribute show. I was supposed to have him on a Wednesday, Trent Acid, and he died the previous Friday. So I was supposed to have Homicide on, and we ended up doing like a almost 4-hour tribute show on the Golden Cravat. It's not on this network. This is a network now, but the Golden Cravat over at blogtalkradio.com/the GCWS is my old show. But I had Homicide call in, and even when he was actually under TNA contract, but I actually got him to do the show through some type of magic that my co-host did.
Let me tell you,
he
could be under contract, but he's very independent, let me tell you.
No, he definitely said he doesn't care, he does whatever he wants, and,
Yeah,
I had a list of questions, I was going to go through, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to go through these, I'm just going to go normal. Because I had a whole page of stuff, talking about.
If you ever want, just let me know, give me, a couple of days' notice. We could do, I will do a 2-hour because I could talk and I enjoy talking about myself. You know what I'm saying?
We need to do that. And we also need to keep going with this conversation because I think it's opens up more doors and,
it definitely does. Either me and Moff or me and Homicide, you know what I mean? We could do it.
If you want to help me out with Moff, that'd be perfect. Yeah. That'd be awesome. So
let's set something up for because we have Extreme Rising in April, so let's try to set something up for the week before that.
I talked about that before. You guys even came on the air about the whole belt situation.
I don't even know what's the deal with the belt situation, but I guess if everybody's talking about it, it's a good thing. You know what I mean?
It sounds silly. It just comes off real silly. It doesn't make any sense.
But the thing is, like I said, everybody's talking about it. So any press is good press. You know what I mean?
Now, I don't want to cut you off there, but were you at the show at the arena?
Yes. We did run in with Blackout.
You had to have seen the arena, what did you think of the whole, did it look like there should have been a wrestling show there that night, or do you think that nobody should have ran there?
Well, the good thing was the lights are off. When the lights are on, you could definitely tell it was a progress in work. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't know if it was unsafe or what, because, what you saw where the people were at, I don't know. It didn't look like a finished building. There was a whole wall where there's supposed to be doors, but it was like just holes in the wall. You know what I mean? Definitely tell that where they're going with the idea, but it wasn't. It definitely wasn't finished. You know.
I saw pictures of the bathroom.
Yeah, the bathroom was a pretty miserable situation.
Yeah.
But like I said, it was a progress of work. I think. The intention was good. The show went off without a hitch, and there was a lot of people in there. So that, if you want to consider that a test run, then that's good. You know what I mean? Hopefully when they come back, everything will be in place. So, yeah.
Right.
All right, Steve, I will talk to you
I'll hit you up. What I'll do is I'll hit up Moff so we could set something up, like I said, and we'll go from there.
Okay, not a problem. All right, thank you.
All right, bro. Thank you for hitting me up.
Yeah, thanks again for coming on.
No problem, no problem.
All right, have a good night.
All right, have a good night. You too. Thanks. Bye.
That was Steve Monster Mac and Tim Larson on the show. And thank you for listening. And like I said, next week on the show, I don't know what I'm going to do next week, but yeah, great, great show. Thanks, Nick, for listening. And I'll check you out next week. So I'm going to play something hilarious. I'll play this song real quick.